You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. Today, I am going to give you a little bit of information about things that are confusing to kids, help parents and even some kids understand why these things are confusing, help people to understand what predators do as far as sexual assault of children, not the graphic details, but how they get away with it. And also give you some encouragement for what you can do next. My name is Lynn, and I am the founder of Stop Feeding the Predators. And one of the things that I noticed personally growing up is the adults at that time gave children a lot of confusing information, a lot of conflicting information, and a lot of things that to children just didn't make sense. And so I'm hoping to clear up some of that today. The other thing is, with the different trainings that I've taken, I've noticed that there's a lot of good intention behind some of the training, but when it comes to applying it to children, it's just not helpful. And I'll give you a couple of examples of that as well. So the main topic for today is confusing children. Not that they're confused, but we make them confused. When we teach kids, it is important to be simple and clear. We sometimes tell them things that are confusing to them because they don't know what we know. They don't have the world perspective that we have. And when I was growing up, there was the expression of, no one should touch you on your private parts, which is any part covered with a swimsuit or your underwear. And that was fine. But many times that information was followed up with, unless it is a doctor or your mom and dad helping you with a bath or doing something with, you know, medical care, things like that. Another, I'm going to give you all the confusing things at once and then I'll help you understand why those are confusing to kids. Another thing that was confusing was, and I've heard this from a lot of parents, not necessarily trainings, but I've heard this from a lot of parents say, well, I teach my kid about good touch and bad touch. And the problem with good touch, bad touch teaching is that some children don't like to be touched at all. And so any kind of touch at all is going to be a bad touch to them. There are other children who just absolutely adore being held and cuddled and snuggled. And so any kind of touch might be good to them. So if you're talking good touch or bad touch, you may be confusing them. The thing that was happening in my case is good touch, bad touch. Sexual touching feels good. When you don't want it, when you're a child and it's not appropriate, our bodies still react to a good touch. If someone rubs your back and you enjoy having your back rubbed, if it's your mom who you love and you trust, it feels good. If it is a relative, if it is a neighbor, if it is a babysitter, the back rub itself is still going to feel good, but our guts react to that touch because there's something off about it. There's something different about it. So our body still reacts to the good back rub, but we don't like it. We don't want it. So is that a good touch or is that a bad touch? Because to a child, it's both. And when we as children have to decide whether or not we're going to tell on someone, which might get that person in trouble, we have to be very careful about what we tell, because if somebody gets in trouble, it's our fault. And that leads me to the most important confusing thing that so many parents say nowadays. Yes, it's usually fathers, but it is also mothers. And this is when an adult, parent, guardian, whomever, says to a child, if anyone ever does anything to you, I will kill them. You tell me who it is and I will beat them up. I will make sure that they are hurt. And I often tell parents, when you say that, you are pretty much guaranteeing that your child is never going to tell you. So those are the confusing things. Now I'll help clear up why those are confusing to kids. From the time they're old enough to understand what we're saying and we get a response from them, we teach children to be gentle with a puppy dog's ears, or to be easy with kitty cat's tail, or don't hit the birdie, or, you know, don't fight with your brother. We spend a lot of time helping kids know that it's not right to be physically aggressive, violent, hurtful physically. Don't smack people, don't hit people. We teach them that from very early on. And children learn that. And I think a lot of kids kind of intuitively know it's not nice to hit somebody because they don't want to be hit. But the problem is, when a parent or an adult says, "I will kill anybody that ever touches you," or "I will beat up anybody that touches you, you tell me who it is and I'll go after them." The problem is, children know that fighting is wrong. They know that hitting is wrong. They know that killing, they know murder, they know that stuff is wrong. And what happens is, we have taken a confusing event for the child. Was that a good touch? Was that a bad touch? I don't know. I don't understand. We have turned it to now a life or death situation. And if the child isn't sure if it was a good touch or a bad touch, but someone's on the line to be beat up or to be killed, child's not going to tell, because that's a pretty big risk. And I'm not giving information to predators that they don't already use. I'm not telling them anything they don't already know. What I'm hoping to do is educate parents, guardians, teachers, counselors, best friends, neighbors, whomever. When you tell anyone, child or otherwise, if he ever lays a hand on you, I will settle it. It will be done. Or anything along those lines, where the person knows that there will be bodily harm done to the person that touched them or hurt them, you are setting that person up to not tell you, to not have a safe, comfortable place to reveal what has happened. And that's really regardless of the age. Because, again, in the case of abused women, again, it goes for men as well, but I'm going to use the women example. There are, you know, brothers, fathers, coworkers, whatever, that say, you know, if I ever find out your husband's hitting you, I'm going to take him out. Now you've just made sure that she's never going to tell you, because she doesn't want you to get in trouble. She doesn't want you to be in trouble for beating somebody up. She doesn't want him to be beat up. She just wants the abuse to end. And that's true with children. That's true with women who are being abused. And that's also true with men who are being abused. Nobody wants violent, aggressive, evil, hateful retaliation. Trust me, we have our moments. We think that's what we want. But what we truly want, 100% of us who are victimized, what we truly want is, we want the abuse to stop. Period. We want to be respected. We want to be treated as worthy of being left alone. We want to know that we have a right to our body and that no one else can touch it, hit it, or do mean things to us, unless we say, okay, let's, you know, play tackle football. Well, then we kind of knew what was coming. But no one asks to be abused. And no one deserves to be abused. And if you've been abused or you're currently being abused, it is not your fault. It is always the fault of the aggressor. And sometimes the aggressors will say things like, well, you made me. Well, if I can make you hit me, I can make you stop hitting me. And since I can't make you stop hitting me, it's pretty obvious that I didn't make you hit me. Children are sometimes told, nobody should touch you in your private parts. unless it's a doctor or your mom and dad helping you with a bath or doing medicine or anything like that. And the difficulty with that one is sometimes it is a parent who is abusing the child. And sometimes it is a doctor abusing the child. And it becomes very confusing to a child when you say, nobody can touch your private parts except for a doctor or your parents. So what I encourage people to do is say, if anyone ever touches you in a way that confuses you, you don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, or if it makes you feel weird or unusual or creepy or just unsure, I want you to tell someone, because that covers it. Predators groom kids, and I'm not talking about brushing their hair, although sometimes that's the case. What they do is they get close to the children so that the children get to know them, get to trust them, want to be with them. A lot of times predators will make children feel special. Oh, you are so pretty. You are my girlfriend. You know, I don't think a four-year-old needs to be anyone's girlfriend. Sometimes predators will groom the parents of that child or guardians, whether it's grandparents or foster parents or whatever. And they will get the parents and also the children to trust them. They will do very nice things, sometimes for months, weeks, sometimes for years. And they will get a relationship established with that child, with those parents, to be trusted alone with that child. Oh, so-and-so's taken, you know, my child camping. My kid loves it. I've talked to my kid. Nothing creepy ever happened. Nothing weird ever happened. They never felt unusual. And while that's probably true and that's probably the case, that doesn't mean that every single camping trip is going to be like that. So what I encourage parents and guardians to do, if there is someone that is getting close to your child and your family, don't leave your child alone with that person. And that might seem like, oh, I'm making a big deal out of it. But when you understand that 98% of, and let's just get rid of the statistic, when you understand that most children who are sexually assaulted, it is at the hands of someone that they know, someone they have known for a long time, someone that they trust, someone that their parents trust, and someone that their parents believe their child is safe with. So throw out all the statistics in the world. Doesn't matter. What matters is this one child, this one moment, this one time. If someone is establishing a relationship with your child, make sure that you are part of that relationship. And I do understand there are times when people need help with somebody has to pick up so-and-so and take them to a soccer game or bring them home from a soccer game or a play practice or whatever. But I will encourage parents to have a better relationship with their kids so that this person is an added person to the child's life and doesn't become someone that has exclusive rights to the child for times, you know, off and on. There's also a thing they say, you know, if anyone ever says or does something to you that makes you uncomfortable. And what I've had to help a lot of people understand is so far in the history of child sexual abuse, I have not heard of anyone who has ever knocked on a bathroom door and said, I want to come in and see you naked. They don't do that because that's creepy. What they say is, hey, I want to make sure you got all the soap out of your hair. Let me come in. That's what they say. They say, I need to get a towel. They say, I want to borrow the soap. They say, I left my glasses on the counter. And yes, some of those can be valid points, but what I'm emphasizing here is nobody knocks on the bathroom door when your child's taking a bath and says, I want to come in and assault you. That's not how it happens. So we need to help educate our children that when they are in the bathroom, it doesn't matter who forgot what. They have a right to privacy while they are in the bathroom. If there's only one bathroom in the whole house, only one toilet in the whole house, only one bathtub and shower in the whole house, everybody should go to the bathroom before that child takes a shower or a bath. The same as you don't want to be interrupted when you're taking a shower or a bath. And I would encourage parents to help children know that that is their right. They have a right to be naked and get clean by themselves. Obviously, younger children are going to need help. So, mom or dad can help. But it shouldn't always be mom or it shouldn't always be dad. Because what if something's happening and that child only knows that one person to help them with a bath? Then they might start saying they don't want baths anymore. You might have a fight. And again, if your kid says, I don't want a bath, that doesn't mean that the person who's helping them is assaulting them. But if your child suddenly stops liking baths, you might want to find out why. Some of the other things that predators do is they are nice. They're thoughtful. They bring special gifts to your child. Not necessarily expensive things. It might be, you know, hey, I was at the store and I grabbed a candy bar for you. I know you like this kind. Or it might be, you know, hey, I'm getting rid of some clothes and you always borrow my sweater when you're cold and I thought I'd give it to you. And again, I can't emphasize this enough. Just because someone's nice to your children does not mean that they want to sexually assault them. But you have to look at the accumulative amount of time, amount of effort that someone is spending trying to get close to your child, especially if you have other children and they seem to have a special relationship with just this one. That's a hint that something might not be right. It could be that they can relate to that child, that they feel sorry for that child. Maybe that child has special needs. Maybe siblings are overachievers and this child needs a little more love and care. And this is where I encourage parents, if you're not assaulting your child, to be the one to make your child feel special. And if you are sexually assaulting your child, stop it. I think parents can encourage kids in ways that will allow kids to feel safe enough to tell. If you say to your child, do you know what abuse means? And ask them what they know. See what they say. If they say that means when somebody hits somebody, they have a pretty good idea. You can help elaborate. Abuse also means when somebody touches you in a way that you didn't want them to touch you. Even if it felt good, if you didn't want it, it shouldn't happen. And you can help empower your kids to understand that abuse is different kinds of things. With all the different programs now, a lot of people are really educating their kids about bullies, about not being a bully, about if you see someone being bullied, you should step up. And hopefully parents are teaching their kids, don't be a jerk, don't be a bully. But that would be, again, it could be verbal abuse. If someone says, you're stupid, that's verbal abuse. And I don't care how old you are. If you're 40 years old and your life partner, spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, coworker, anybody says, you're stupid, that's abusive. And if they say, oh, I was just kidding, you know what I mean. I mean, I'm stupid too about things. I was just goofing around. It doesn't matter. It's still abusive. And people shouldn't do it. Make your child your priority in life. Help your kids to know that you love them so much that you would do whatever it takes to keep them safe. And don't say you're going to kill anybody that tries to hurt them. But you can emphasize, I will do anything that I need to do to help you be okay. I will go out of my way to make sure that you're safe and that you feel all right. going to school, being home alone, or, you know, some kids, we used to call them latchkey kids. Some kids actually have to be home by themselves until parents get home from work. And maybe parents can, you know, get together and find somebody that's trustworthy and work out some kind of alternate to the child being home by themselves if they're afraid of that. Make time for your kids. Whether you brought this child into the world through a lot of planning and effort, whether it was a surprise, whether it was an unexpected guardianship of grandchild or something like that, or foster care and you thought that you weren't going to be taking any more kids for a while and suddenly a child comes into your life. Regardless of how that child came into your life, help that child to know how special they are. There's only one person like that in the whole entire world. And they're learning everything they need to know in little bits and pieces by what we say and what we do. Make time for them. Communicate with them. Talk to them about anything and everything. No matter how many times they ask why, answer why. And if you hit a point that they've asked why about something so many times that you've gotten to a part of it where you actually don't know the answer, tell them, I don't know why. Why do you think it is? And see what they think. It doesn't matter if they're right or wrong. What matters is that you're communicating. You're acknowledging their question. You're validating their interest. You're making them feel important. You're making them feel like they matter, because they do. And help them to feel special in a good way. When I was growing up, there were neighbors, there were teachers, there were moms of other friends. And the one thing that the ones that I loved the most all had in common is they made me feel like I mattered in the world. That I wasn't just something that was there, that I wasn't just something that was in the way or something to be processed. They would ask me how I was doing. You know, haven't seen you in a while. How have you been? And I'd say, oh, I'm all right. You know, typical kid response. And these people that I grew to love so much, they would say, just okay? You don't have anything exciting going on? And I would say, no, nothing exciting. And they'd say, was there anything bad going on or just kind of boring? Just kind of boring. And it let me know that if there was something bad going on, I probably could have said, yeah, not really having a good day. And they would have been open to listening about my not good day. It doesn't mean that opening communication sets you up to listen to the child complain constantly. In fact, it's kind of the opposite. When you open up communication with children, you make it all right for them to ask all those why questions. Why is the sky blue? Why do birds fly south? Why is that duck not getting wet? All the kinds of questions kids have. And when you answer their questions, you make it okay for them to talk to you about things that you know that they don't know. It's suddenly all right to not know something and ask for answers and ask for information. And when you help them, you encourage them to ask more questions. What if a child started out with, why do some dogs bite and some dogs don't? And you could say, I don't know. Maybe some dogs have been treated mean and it makes them afraid of little kids, and so they get scared and so they bite. And then you can say, why do you think some dogs bite and some dogs don't? You know, there's nothing wrong with giving kids some information and also asking the kids what they think of why that is. My favorite is when kids say, "Why is the sky blue?" And you could go into all the scientific knowledge about color spectrum and light and all of that. Sometimes you can say, "I don't know, but it's really pretty, isn't it?" And that acknowledges their question. You heard their question, you admitted you're not quite sure, and you found something positive in it. And you could say to the kid, "Why do you think the sky's blue?" And they might say, "I don't know, that's why I asked you." And you could say, "Well, how are we going to find out why the sky's blue?" And get them thinking. Sometimes you could just say, "You know, you're a pretty smart kid. I bet you could help me figure out why the sky is blue." It's really empowering to children to be told that they're smart enough to find the answers, but that you'll go with them when they go looking for them. You know, good touch, bad touch is very confusing to kids. Creepy touch is something that we talk about because children's guts react, that turning stomach, seasick feeling, whatever you want to call it. Kids intuitively, their guts react to bad touches, to touches that are not appropriate. You know, if you punch a child, they know that's wrong. But if you sexually touch a child, it confuses them. That felt good, but I don't want you to do that, and that never happened before, and I don't know why you did that. That's what kids think. So as adults, if we encourage kids, tell me if anybody ever touches you or says anything to you in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable, makes you feel unusual, or confuses you. And again, you're going to have to use words that are age appropriate for whichever child you're talking to. But a lot of times, if you say to kids, "Tell me if anybody ever touches you or says anything that makes you feel weird." Because weird is pretty open-ended. I've had some really, really happy times, and I felt really weird. That was a good thing. It was just a weird, you know? It was a lot of happy, good things all at once that just made me feel weird. So weird keeps it open that they can tell you good or bad. Communicate with your kids. Let them know that they're special. Don't wait for somebody else to come into your child's life for your child to feel like they matter. Regardless of how this child came to be in your care, you're the parent, you're the guardian, and it's up to you to teach them how to be safe, how to be healthy, how to have a happy life. It can be difficult for kids, especially foster care or sudden guardianship from grandparents and things like that, if the kids have come from a disruptive life and they're not quite sure what's happening next. The best thing you can do is communicate with them. Give them as much information about what's appropriate as you can, and help them to know that whatever happens, you'll be there for them. It's up to the adults, the healthy adults, to help raise healthy, safe children. My name is Lynn, and you've been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. And healing starts here.